Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
It's late. I've had a few and I can't sleep. Tomorrow's the inquest into the death of my best mate's son. My godchild. An all-round great kid. I've got to be there to give a character statement on Carl, a friend of mine since the first day of school, and his wife, and whether there might have been foul play involved in Noah's death. And honestly, I don't know. I can't stop thinking about it, replaying the story as Carl told it to me. Mostly, I can't stop thinking about the shoes. Everything I know secondhand from Carl. So, I'll tell you what he told me. And maybe you could let me know what you make of it, because I just don't know. Carl was a guy I'd have trusted with my life. Last year, he bought a new house with his wife, Suze. It was never in a million years the kind of house I'd imagine Carl buying. An old tumble-down little thing, with a thatch roof in the ass end of nowhere, Devon. A beautiful house, no mistaking, with wooden beams, buckets of character, acres of garden to get lost in a village where everyone knows everyone. Nice. Just not very Carl. I can see what drew them, though. They needed the space. Noah was fast approaching 8, and his younger brother, Archie, was a 5-year-old wrecking ball. Add a heavily pregnant Suze and a cat into the mix, and London just wasn't an option anymore. I went to visit in their first week after moving. Everywhere was still a mess of boxes, but you could see how happy they all were about the potential for the place. It wasn't without its drawbacks. The floorboards were uneven and groaned under the slightest pressure. The layout was maze-like, and sometimes it felt like there was no knowing where a corridor was leading you before you'd somehow been turned back on yourself. The thick walls made it a Wi-Fi nightmare, and the house didn't warm evenly. In fact, some areas were downright freezing. It was the tail end of a balmy summer, and I'd gone to get some more beers from the garage when I noticed that first cold patch. Hits you in the bones cold. I'd mentioned it to Carl, and he laughed. Yeah, we've noticed them. Never in the same place twice, though. You can be walking the house at any time of day or night, and it's like you've walked into the bloody Baltic. Suze nodded in agreement, but she didn't laugh. The weirdest one was the other night. I was the last one up watching Match of the Day. Hadn't shifted from the armchair in a few hours, and it was like the cold spot walked into me. With hindsight, I don't know if any of that is relevant. It was just my first recollection of that house. The first really strange thing happened about 2 days after that. I was helping Carl re-turf the garden while his boys raced around playing a game involving pirates. We'd been working for a few hours when we both noticed the kids' game had stopped, and they were both stood perfectly still, staring down at one of the flower beds. Carl shrugged, and we both went over to see what had paused their game. What struck me first was how oddly still they had both become. They didn't seem to notice the first time Carl asked, Whose shoes are those? Noah still had the trowel in his hand. The two of them had been digging in the flowerbed, and now, in front of us, was a hole that was nearly 3 feet wide and one deep, and filled with shoes. Carl stooped down to pick one up. "This isn't yours, is it?" he asked Noah, brandishing an old black leather shoe with an enormous buckle. Noah shook his head. Of course it wasn't his shoe. It was perhaps the right size for an 8-year-old's foot, but it was far too old to belong to any of them. Carl lifted out another one, shaking the earth that filled it. Another shoe that belonged to a different time. I'm no expert, but it wouldn't have surprised me to find that either of those shoes was more than 100 years old. Carl sent the kids inside, and together we excavated the rest of the flowerbed. We found 20 pairs of shoes that day, all of them made for children's feet, each a different style and shape. Some poor and beaten, some expensive and finessed, and all of them for children. Carl was clearly alarmed, and I could see his eyes start to roam around the rest of the garden, wondering what else might be buried out there. Whatever Carl said about the shoes to Suze was a conversation behind closed doors. That night, we went out to the pub and spent most of the evening reading what Google had to say about children's shoes buried in the garden. The suggestions ranged from the sublime to the ridiculous. Dodgy landfills, serial killer calling cards, plague cleansing, Victorian wards to keep spirits away, fertility rituals. We took turns reading them out while we drank. It had been a good night, and we'd laughed. But maybe we should have paid more attention. After that, the shoes were kept inside. They made a little display of them, tasseled together on old bits of rope around the fireplace. Suze thought they were quirky. In the months that followed, there were other strange things that Carl would text me about. He said he'd got up around 4 a.m. one night, needing the toilet, and smelt smoke on the way back to the room. He did a once-over of the house, and had become convinced that the smell was coming from a freestanding pot plant in the kitchen. It was a little shrub that they'd had for longer than they'd had Noah. After a lot of sniffing, Carl said there was no question it was coming from the plant, and when he pulled it out of the pot, saw that the entire root system was ablaze. Like the soil was full of fluorescent worms. Neither of them had any idea what could have happened, but were relieved they caught it in time, given how flammable all the old timber and thatching was. A week or so later, they found the wasp nest. Suze was cleaning the lounge, trying to sponge out a mark on the wall, when she heard the buzzing. The spot she was sponging gave way completely, revealing a throbbing wasp's nest. Carl sent me a voice message. "Maddest thing, man. Don't know if you've ever seen a wasp nest. They're a bit like beavers, apparently, in that they'll carry back all sorts of material to make it. But the nest was bright red and pulsing. Suze thought she found, like, some kind of organs pulsating in the walls at first, and wouldn't stop screaming that the house was alive. It's messed up. All good though. Exterminators yesterday, and they reckon they've got them all. Just need to keep an eye on it. Weird that nothing came up in the surveys about this though. Not like the solicitors were cheap." Then, the cat went missing. First day that Noah went out to try his new school, he came home calling for George and ran around the whole house. But the cat was nowhere to be seen. big fat old thing, not prone to long adventures or leaving the house at all really. A London cat that liked its creature comforts. Just gone. They put signs up around the village and Noah requested that there was some kind of reward for the finder. But it stayed gone. On Halloween, Carl and Suze took the kids trick-or-treating around the village. They were starting to really settle into the village life and getting involved in things that they had never done in London. They come home, swag bags bulging with little chocolates, to find a cat sat on the doorstep outside their house. Not George. Nothing like George. This cat was sleek, lithe, and mean-looking, as Suze put it. But Noah had burst into tears and immediately started hugging and kissing new George, insisting that it had to come inside and that the cat had chosen them. "What are you going to do?" I laughed down the phone. I never had kids of my own, and with the state of my love life, it's doubtful I ever will. "Well, Dan, man, I don't know. Obviously, that is someone's cat, isn't it? We can't just have it." I tried to explain this to Noah, and he said that the person can have the cat back when they come for it. And that was a week ago now. I'm just worried no one will come, and we'll be stuck with this new cat who really is a bit of an asshole. We'd laughed. And that was the last time I heard Carl laugh. Maybe we'll never hear Carl laugh. Because the next strange thing that happened was that Noah died. Carl said that he'd been sleeping when it happened, but Suze woke him in a blind panic, not knowing exactly what was wrong, but that something had happened. They went to Noah's room first and saw that he was sound asleep in bed, and then went downstairs because they heard a bang. The door to the garden was wide open, and the strange black cat was prowling around near the flower beds. Carl said they never noticed this at the time, probably not until a few days later, but all the shoes around the fireplace were gone. All of Noah's shoes were missing as well. Then they heard a little giggle coming from upstairs and ran back up to find little Archie sat in the toilet with his trousers around his ankles. "What are you doing, Arch?" Suze had asked. Apparently, happy little Archie pointed down the hallway behind them and said that he wanted to join the daisy line because it looked fun. Neither Carl or Suze understood what this meant. All the kids were arm in arm like a daisy chain, and they went dancing down the corridor. They went in and out of all the rooms, and I missed it because I was in here. And I was laughing because they went into Noah's room, and out he came. He got to join the daisy line. Didn't look like he was having fun, though. Carl told me that this was when his heart really started to race. He said that a cold patch had settled over them, over the whole corridor. Maybe it was because the leader was so mean. He had such a mean face, even though the dance was fun. He made sure that all the children kept dancing and dancing and dancing, and if they stopped, he whacked their little toes with a sharp stick. Out of all the questions that Carl had wanted to ask, what children, what leader, what on earth are you talking about? All he actually said was, "Noah," before sprinting off down the corridor back to his first child's room. "Maybe we can catch up with all of them in the garden," was the last thing Suze remembers Archie saying from the toilet. Carl tore into Noah's room, and the boy was still lying in bed, just as they'd seen him the first time they checked. But this time, Carl went right to his bedside. Sure enough, Noah had no pulse, his little chest no longer rising and falling. A cold patch had settled into the room, and his cold little body, cot death or infant death is what people keep calling it. Noah was really too old for that. But according to the doctors, sometimes these things happen. According to the doctors, this can also be exacerbated by neglect, abuse or trauma from the care providers. So tomorrow is Carl's inquest to see if either him or Suze had a hand in this. And I don't know. They both tell anyone who will listen these stories, these strange happenings in the house, and what Archie had said about the dancing children that night. And everyone smiles and nods at these poor, broken parents and wonders exactly what I'm feeling right now. Was there something else going on? And around this whole mess, I'm trying to help organize Noah's funeral. Sue said that if I looked up in the attic, I'd find his little black suit that they bought him for a wedding a while back, and a little box with some smart black shoes. I found the suit, but the box was empty. And the most messed up thing is I think I know exactly where those shoes are. And I can't bring myself to look.